As you know, I was at the GC session a couple of weeks ago, and it was amazing to sit there and look out at our world church, to see all of those people gathered in that Georgia Dome, filling it up literally to the rafters of that place. They were all Adventists, all of them. Wow. You know, it was amazing to see that. And then at the end, they did that parade of nations, you know, where they bring out all the flags and everybody, you know, and they tell what's going on in the different countries. And it's just so clear that we're reaching out with the gospel, this gospel that you sang about, the gospel of Jesus who gave himself for us. What a powerful, powerful message. It is amazing. Matthew 24:14 says, as you know, and this gospel of the kingdom, what? Will be preached. Yes? In all the world as a witness to all nations. And then help me out. What happens next? Yes, and then the end will come, right? We're right there on the threshold. But what is this gospel? What is this gospel that needs to be preached to all the world? Come to Thessalonica and find out. Open your Bibles with me, please. Open your Bibles, please. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. You remember what happened in Acts chapter 16, right? Paul got put in prison. He was singing at midnight. All of those things. He was let out that night or that next morning after the Philippian jailer was converted. They sent him out of Philippi. He went through verse 1 of chapter 17. He went through Amphipolis and Apollonia, and they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And there Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for 3 Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to what? Had to suffer. Christ had to suffer. This was big news to the Jews, wasn't it? Because they expected the conquering king, the one to come in glory and smash the power of the Romans. But Paul was showing them the suffering Savior, the suffering Messiah. You know Isaiah chapter 53. Let me read for you verses 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The suffering Messiah. That's what Paul was preaching. That was the gospel that he began to share with those in Thessalonica. Jesus himself said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And this bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Jesus was willing to give himself for us, to suffer for you and I, to allow us to be made righteous in him. Sometimes we get so used to it, don't we? Have you ever been walking through your house? Walking through your house at night, and you're just cruising along, but you didn't want to turn on any lights. You know where I'm going, right? And you didn't put on your slippers. And what happened? Man, you just cram your toe into something, some couch, some chair, some something, and then you remember, oh yeah, we changed it. We rearranged things, right? You got so used to things being where they've always been that you didn't even think about it anymore, and you walk right into a couch. And sometimes we come to church week after week. We open our word each morning for worship. We share prayer with our spouse at night, and we go through these things, and sometimes we forget how important the furniture is. We just begin to walk around it all the time by habit, almost. And we forget what Jesus has done for us. We forget that the gospel begins with a message of a suffering Messiah who gave himself for our sins. And we begin to think of it as, oh yeah, I know that. As though it were all just about a head knowledge and not about a relationship with a Savior who loved us that much. Today I want to turn the light on just for a moment again and think about what Jesus has put in the room for us. About that salvation that he's given us. About that righteousness he offers us freely. About the beginning of the gospel of God. About what Jesus has done for us. We don't earn that. We can't be good enough. We're not going to give ourselves to make us righteous enough to get to heaven. We have to depend on Christ, our righteousness. How many of you have come steaming up Florida Avenue from the south? You're late for church. Steaming up. No, I'm not talking about anybody here. But I have. I've come up that road, and you come up to 1792, right? Memorial Boulevard there. And then in the back of your mind, it goes, ding! You better stop for that one. You know what I'm talking about, right? Uh-huh. Yeah. And you go charging through that light as it turns red. What's going to happen to my mailbox real soon? Gonna get that little fine there, huh? Yeah, Lakeland, it's a fine city, huh? Yeah, I'm gonna get that fine in my mailbox, right? How many times do I have to go to that intersection and stop really carefully to make up for the fine for that one time I charged through? How many times? Not going to happen for me, is it? Not going to happen for me. No matter how many times I stop carefully after that, it doesn't matter, does it? They still want their Benjamins, don't they? And if I didn't have it, somebody is going to pay that for me, aren't they? I wish. You see, it doesn't matter how much I keep God's law. It doesn't make up for the fact that I broke it. Now, because Jesus is paying the fine for me, does that mean now I can just charge through the light anytime I feel like it? No. People could get hurt that way, huh? Yeah, isn't it amazing? But I want to think about the fact that I can't make myself right beyond that. I need Jesus Christ. Period. End of story, don't I? In order to be just before a holy God, I need Jesus to forgive my sins, don't I? I can't get around that. And that's why we call it the gospel, the good news, right? Is it good news? Have we become so familiar with it that we've forgotten how totally wonderful that news is? Have we just become ho-hum? Yeah, I've been a Christian for 40, 50 years. And, oh, yeah, I know Jesus is my Savior. Tell me something new that'll interest me this week. Do we come to church sometimes that way? And not realizing that this is where the gospel begins. This is what it's all about. That we need to keep this fresh in our minds. That we need to be again reminded of that Savior who hung on that cross for you and I, right? That Savior who when He really was beyond the human limits, did this for you and for me. What an awesome gospel this is. What a tremendous privilege it is for you and I to carry this to the world. Going back to 1 Thessalonians, let's take a look there again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For you yourselves know, brethren, speaking to the Thessalonians. By the way, you remember these are the same Thessalonians that after he leaves this town, Luke has a little comment about the Thessalonians. Do you remember the comment? Actually, it's sort of a left-handed comment because he's actually talking about the Bereans, right? And he says the Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica, right? And yet here's Paul. You yourselves know, brethren, these must have been the good ones out of the less noble, right? That our coming to you was not in vain. Sometimes we're tempted to think that because not too many listened, because we didn't have much success, because when we went to Berea that things were much better, that our time in Thessalonica was wasted. But he said, we did not come to you in vain. Why? Why is that? Because the power of the gospel was there. Okay, let me try that again. The power of the gospel was there. You see, thank you. It's not about what we had to say. It's not about who we are. It's about the power of the gospel that makes a difference in the lives of those we touch. And if it's not alive in us, how will it touch their lives? Let's keep it alive in us. Let's keep it fresh in us. And so it was not in vain. Verse 2, but even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, as we discussed, right? We were, what does he say? Bold. How many of you have been beaten with rods and thrown in a place that didn't have light or air? It's ugly, ugly what happened to Paul in Philippi. And yet here he comes to Thessalonica and he goes, man, let's get at this. Let's go ahead and preach the word. Let's tell them. Let's let them know about Jesus and all that Jesus has done. Wait, Paul, wait. Let's see. Beating, stoning. This is getting real old here. How many of us would be, yeah, let's go. Let's tell them. Let's put up the tent. Let's put out the flyers. Or would we say, let's see, let's just sort of keep this quiet. No need to get an excitement going here. Right? Is the gospel something that we can get excited about? Yeah? Is this something that when we meet people that don't know about this gospel, something that we just can't wait to tell them? Or is our talk about the latest driver from Ping? Have no idea what that is? It's golf, you know, golf. Yeah. Or is it my new car? It is so cool. You should see it. It's shiny. Is that what it's about? What do we want to tell people? What's burning in our hearts? What's driving us? What's motivating us? What is it that you just can't keep inside? Even if they beat you, you just gotta share it. What's driving you? Is it your Ping or your Lexus? Or is it the love of Jesus? What is it that drives you? Paul says, even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold. Bold. Where does such boldness come from? Psalm 138, verse 3 says, in the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. Have we asked the Lord for boldness? Have you ever been intimidated when it was time to talk about Jesus? You ever had that happen? You were a little bit, I'm Christian. Yeah, that'd be me. You know, you ever been a little intimidated? Yeah. Did you ask for boldness? Did you know that in Psalm 138, verse 3, there's a promise there that God will give you boldness to share that gospel and tell others about the loving Lord that we serve? What a beautiful promise. Jesus was bold. Others were in the crowd saying, but look, he speaks boldly and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? Jesus was bold. What about you and I? What about the disciples? Were they bold? Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they, those same rulers, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized what? That they had been with Jesus, right? Where did they get that boldness? Was it because they were just naturally gung-ho guys? Not if my reading of right after the crucifixion is correct. You know, they were the classic go in, close the door, 14 bolts, you know, and it's tight, right? Well, give me 10 minutes and I'll open the door. Kind of hiding from the Jews, right? That's why they were assembled in the upper room on the first day of the week, wasn't it? It wasn't because they were worshiping. It was for fear of the Jews, right? But here, those rulers took note of the boldness of Peter and John. So they were arrested, Peter and John. Later let loose with the stern warning, don't preach in this name anymore. And so they went home. And did they bolt all the doors again? Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Now, Lord, they prayed, look on their threats, they said, and grant your servants that with all... Yeah, you know, don't you? Boldness, they may speak your word. Okay. They had just been threatened, thrown in prison. They come home. The very first thing they do is start preaching to be bold. Wow. How about you and I? When was the last time you were threatened with being thrown in prison for preaching God's word? And yet we're not praying for boldness. Maybe it's because we haven't been threatened, huh? Are we just waiting to be threatened? Is that it? What do we need to do here to make this message burn in our hearts, go forward to Lakeland, to reach out with this gospel of the kingdom? What can we do? What can we do? So after they prayed, what happened? What happened with the disciples after they prayed that prayer? What do you think might happen in Lakeland were we to pray that prayer? If we were to say, God, make us bold. Make us go out. Make us filled with a spirit that we just can't hardly contain ourselves. We're going to bust the doors down, getting out of here so we can tell people about Jesus. What might happen? Verse 31 in Acts chapter 4. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, waiting for the latter rain, are we? And they spoke the word of God with boldness. The promise is there for us to do just what Paul did in Thessalonica. That can happen for us too. For I am not ashamed, Paul said, of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Do we believe that today? Do we assembled in this building on Sabbath believe that? Do you know how many people need this gospel? Do you realize what a minority you are sitting here today? Do you realize that? How much of a percentage of Florida do you think attends church on a regular basis? 50%? What do you think? Much more like 5. That's right. 13%. 13% of Floridians attend church. Is there room for people to hear this message? You see, 50 years ago, it was very common for us to run into people as we preached about Jesus who already knew the gospel. Do you know that today you go out to the average person on the streets of Lakeland and probably the only way they've heard the name of Jesus was with his last name? Know what I mean? Yeah. Not good. They have no idea what the gospel is all about. They have no idea that there's good news, that Jesus died for their sins and what that means for them. They have no idea. we have the opportunity to take that to them, to help them understand what happened in Thessalonica. What happened when Paul took this message to them? Verse 6, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles. They didn't go out there with an intention of benefiting themselves. They went out there to spread the gospel of God. And what was the result? What was the result? Looking back at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, we find out that they got drug before the authorities in Thessalonica. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, they got drug before the authorities. And it says in verse 6, and when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, what? These who have turned the world upside down have come here also. Brothers and sisters, do you want to have Lakeland turned upside down? It'll be so awesome to have Lakeland say, whoa, what happened? It was just this sleepy little building out there on Gilmore. And suddenly, kapow, they're turning everything upside down. Wow. What would that be like? And then Winter Haven catches hold of it. And Bartow. And it starts spreading out all over the place. So that by the time it gets to Tampa, they're saying, whew, those people that turned Lakeland upside down, they're here too. Yeah. That's what the gospel can do. That's what telling people what Jesus can mean to them can do in their lives. That's why this is the power of God unto salvation. This isn't just ho-hum stuff, a piece of furniture we walk around. This is the power of God. It's awesomeness. What happens today? Today, if we take this gospel, if we pray for God's boldness, if we preach this, even at the risk of being beaten, what would happen? Might it be that every nation, tribe, tongue, and people would hear? Might it even be that it would be like an angel flying in the, oh yeah, in the midst of heaven? Isn't that angel preaching the gospel to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people? Isn't that what we've been commissioned to do? Isn't the gospel, the righteousness of Christ, the three angels' message in verity? Am I just nuts or what? Is it that we need to come back to what God has given us? Isn't this where we really, truly need to be in the last days as we find a world out there that has forgotten who Jesus really was and take them the gospel, this power of God unto salvation? Isn't that what we're working for? Isn't that who we are? Is it about the stuff that happens here at this building? Or is it about the work of God taking salvation to the world? Isn't that what it's all about? Or am I confused somewhere along the line? Is it really just about hanging out until Jesus gets here and making sure the world doesn't get in? What's it all about? what will happen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18. Oh, I'm sorry, 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it. Brothers and sisters, as we take this gospel to our city, there will be those who will hear it, who will welcome it, who will be touched by God's Spirit, who will feel the power of God in their hearts, who will be changed because of you, because of the work you do, because of your focus, your love, your care for them, because you were willing to sacrifice yourself a little bit for them. They will hear that message and turn their hearts to God. What a beautiful idea. What a beautiful idea. Verse 13, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Wow. Huge. That is so huge that they were willing to do that. Look back at how Paul felt about them. Verse 8, so affectionately longing for you, affectionately longing for you, Paul says, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. Think about this. Paul is talking about before he preached to them. Read it. He says, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you the gospel. As he was coming to Thessalonica, he was praying. As he was beginning to preach to them, he was praying. He did not just let his heart be knit to those who happened to accept and say, okay, because you've accepted, now you're worthy of my love to you. But he was a longingly affectionate toward them before he had preached to them. Brothers and sisters, are you longingly affectionate toward the people of Lakeland? God can help us. God can give us that love. God can give us that boldness, because Jesus loved us so much. Our heart overflows to those in our city. We can love like that. Not because we're worthy, that's the gospel. Because he's worthy. Isn't it beautiful how it goes full circle? I hope I'm not moving your couch today. Jesus wants to do great things. Jesus wants us to fall in love with the people of our city, to think of how we can reach out to them and to bring them this wonderful good news of our Savior who died for them. What a beautiful thing. And in doing so, brothers and sisters, we are preaching the three angels' message. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? We're preaching the three angels' message because we're taking the gospel to our city. And the promise we have is that they will listen. They will hear us. Some of them will receive it as the word of God, and their lives will be changed, and they'll be rejoicing in heaven. And throughout eternity, we will be together praising the Lord. What an awesome privilege is ours, brothers and sisters. I want you to grasp that this morning. I want you to take it into you. I want it to warm your heart. I want it to burn within you. in a way that you just can't contain. And that love just spills out to everyone you meet. And you say, Jesus loves you. And let me show it to you. Because I do too. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we are so grateful for how much Jesus loves us, that He gave Himself for us. As we've heard this morning in song, in the scripture. And Father, may it now take up new residence in our hearts, that we can know, and that others can see in us a Savior who loves so much, Jesus Christ, the righteous. In His name we pray. Amen.